This is Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media, and I'm speaking with Todd Eardley, founder, chairman, and president of Videon, and the new CEO of Videon, Rob Green. Welcome, guys.
Thanks very much, Colin.
Thank you, Colin.
It's great to have you on, and I want to say, first of all, congratulations on closing the financing round. That's great news, but we will get to that in just a moment. First, why don't I turn to you first, Todd? Tell us about Videon.
Yeah, Videon is a company that I founded 20 plus years ago, and the notion of Videon was, how do we bring key intellectual property and engineering services to the semiconductor industry in support of digital video? So what started with early entrant into creating new solutions for this emerging thing called DVD many, many, many years ago has evolved over and over with major semiconductor partners and major OEMs to be other things in optical disc or other things in the Google TV space or things associated with Chromecast or smart TVs. And ultimately, where we are right now, using parts and partnerships with Qualcomm and identifying great products for the live streaming market.
So where did the idea for Edgecast come?
So great question. We've continually used semiconductors in different ways than what the target market might have been. So, you know, we've worked with companies like Qualcomm, and there's Qualcomm with a great cell phone chip that has wonderful compute power, and it has core function as a cell phone. But you know what else that Qualcomm chip can do? More and more, it's becoming a camera rather than a cell phone. So the idea was, how do we redeploy the assets of that particular technology to create a device that could enable any video, any baseband video, HDMI, SDI, come into that processor, have all the processing power of that cell phone chip, but also have massive amount of compute. And so we came out with the idea of bringing this product forward. It was first out in the notion of 4K video under 2K a cost. And that was the implementation of Edgecaster back in 1997, and we've been evolving the product ever since then.
Rob, why don't you walk me through, how do I deploy this?
Well, the product is pretty simple to deploy. It's a low-power appliance. It's roughly the size of a small book. It contains an SDI input, an HDMI input, a network connection, can run power over Ethernet, and essentially you plug it in and select a profile, and that's it. It's very straightforward.
So, I mean, it seems like the sort of product that you could even mail to a location if you needed to and have somebody else plug it in. Is that the idea, that it'd be just on-site somewhere plugged into a camera and then it just be that easy for you to grab the video?
That is one application, absolutely. Sometimes the product's racked, but often it's tangential to a larger broadcast effort. So we could be sometimes second tier, second camera feed, and that could be done remotely. You could run the product off a battery, right? It runs on less than 10 watts. So it's really a broad range, right? It's not really a consumer product, but as soon as you get past consumer, it's applicable almost anywhere in the food chain.
Now, one of the things that really impresses me about the device is that you're doing UHD and you're delivering, you're processing that in real time with very, very low latency. And it's also in a very affordable package. So talk to me a little bit about that. It sounds very, very difficult to do that. Is that where the Snapdragon processor really comes into its own, Todd?
Absolutely. And great observation, Colin, because there really are two things that are happening to create latency. And you have to think about, I have a camera, I have to encode that video to get it to the cloud, and then the cloud has to create the renditions that allow you and I to watch that video. So in each of those steps, there is the potential for latency. So first and foremost, most of the encoders are based on a PC architecture or even an FPGA, and those architectures tend not to have the lowest latency. They might take up to 2 seconds to encode the video. And then they encode video in the traditional format, something like RTMP, And that goes pushed up to the cloud. And then the cloud has to create the renditions for the iPhone. It has to create the renditions for the Android phone. And that might take 5 to 10 seconds to create those renditions. Then you have to push it through and we all have to play it back. Here's what we did differently. A, Snapdragon, the encoder within Snapdragon, does its base encoding in 150 milliseconds. So that's transformative by itself. The second thing, now let's think about Snapdragon as a video compute platform. With that compute power of the video compute platform, that cloud re-encoding, creating all those renditions, we create those directly. And we create those renditions in that same 150 milliseconds. So what might have otherwise been 10 seconds of embedded latency now is reduced to 150 milliseconds. That is transformative.
That is pretty remarkable. Is that the only benefit of the of doing it at the edge rather than moving the video quickly up to the cloud and doing the processing in the cloud?
No. As a matter of fact, there are multiple number of benefits because as soon as you start to move some of the key cloud functions to the edge on-prem, you can increase reliability, increase quality because you're not requiring a number of hops to happen to make that work. The other thing that you're doing is, in addition to reducing latency, because you're eliminating cloud functions, you're reducing cost. So you're decreasing cost and latency, and you're increasing reliability and quality. Plus, there's other compute functions that you can use to add on to what you're doing on the edge to even create greater benefit. But that's a different topic.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out, Colin, that you know, there's no, like a lot of things in streaming world, there's no definition of what constitutes low latency. So the terms are intermixed a lot, and it could be anywhere from, in our case, 150 milliseconds to 30 seconds, right? Depending upon what somebody's doing. And we have a natural gravitation towards live content just because of the latency factor for us.
Right. So how are you deploying this? We talked about some deployment, how it's deployed, but I would like really interested in real deployments. And I think, unusually, last year was a pretty bad year, I think, in general for live because of sports basically going away. But you didn't have a bad year last year, did you? There were a couple of deployments that you did to actually help things that would have been live continue to be delivered live. So tell us about a couple of the applications. Todd, I think you delivered an opera.
Yeah, we delivered an opera. I get tingles even thinking about what I'm going to tell you. A year plus ago, it was March, and there was the Taiwan Opera that was about to premiere an event written by a composer, Defala. And 2 days before the event was to go live, they were shut down because of COVID. But what they were allowed to do was do one more performance, but it was the dress rehearsal. So nobody could be in, they could do the dress rehearsal. So what happened is our local integration partner, Rexel in Taiwan, brought 4 Edgecaster encoders to the Opera House, deployed them very quickly, had to leave and had to rely on the Opera House people to set this up and get it working. And the morning that Vidion found out we weren't allowed to go to work anymore, our team at 7 a.m. our time was able to watch a 4-camera angle live stream of the dress rehearsal of this opera. And it was so impactful. And as a matter of fact, that opera house only seated a couple of thousand people, but that live stream was seen by 50,000 people worldwide. And here's the fun fact. The composer, Defala, saw it in Spain, and as COVID restrictions were eliminated, he went back to Taiwan and conducted the next version of the opera live with a true audience. And so we created a life connection moment with that deployment. And that's just one example. We did something with another entity, a local theater, that was having trouble getting their message out and having trouble getting performances to be known. We deployed our Edgecaster technology to them. They live streamed And an event that typically would have raised about $5,000 in donations, because of it being streamed, it was actually able to reach a broader audience. And they raised $25,000 in support of cancer as a result of this particular deployment. So these are things that I think are really important and really impactful.
Yeah, that's an awesome story. And I suppose this brings us very neatly to your funding round. I mean, it sounds like the proof points were last year for the value of the technology. So you did your first funding round, but quite unusual to do a Series A this late in a company's life. Rob, tell us about that.
Sure. You're absolutely right, Colin. If there's another 23-year-old hardware-based company that got a Series A this year or even last year, I'd be pretty surprised. And what that really speaks to is, I mean, Vidion's a very high quality company with great people, but the direction we're going, of course, is what the investors invested in. And the reason, and I was attracted to the company as well, is that they've done something very, very clever. And what it amounts to is that, you know, almost all encoding appliances, or I could even probably state all at this point, I'm not sure there's another one that's doing this, work as single function devices. When Todd and the team architected the Snapdragon product and built the first encoder, a lot of the video processing was offloaded, and it freed up core CPU for other functionality. And so what we did is essentially productize this core functionality, or core CPU, that's available into a development environment that companies can write to. And essentially what it all boils down to is we've taken some of the functionality that you would deploy in the cloud and moved it to the point of origin. And the reason to do that is it's just cheaper for a lot of functions, and it can be influence video in a real-time way. And so we're not competing with AWS. We're a complement to it. We like to say we're, again, extending the cloud to the point of the edge. And that's what ultimately attracted the investors. They see a lot of efficiencies with that, and ultimately efficiencies went out in the market.
So what do you plan to do with the money?
Well, you know, when you're bootstrapping a company for a long time, you tend to not be able to be that strategic, right? It's much more of a tactical operation. This money allows us to really have a longer range plan. It allows us to bring in a lot more people, super high quality people. We've mentioned in the press release Tricia Boshi, and she's got a great track record. I've known her for a long time. And so we're going to use it for sales, marketing, growth, and some engineering functions. We want to build out our on-prem cloud service as quickly as possible.
Fantastic. Okay, so what do we see for the market going forward? How is live? I mean, it looks like live growth online is up and to the right. Does that mean that that's the same opportunity for Vidion?
Yeah.
It does. And actually, we see that live is going to be transformed. And we see Vidion as the core to transforming live video. And here's really what gets down to. We are all accustomed to the fact that live video is going to move to the cloud. Cloud's going to do what it's going to do. And you have these disparate elements that are trying to work together. They're kind of cobbled together. And that creates kind of a clunky solution, with all due respect to the industry and the great work that's been done. By moving critical functions in the cloud to on-prem and using our video compute platform, we're effectively tying together the ecosystems. And by enabling that with a friendly developer environment, where what you've developed in the cloud can seamlessly move to on-prem at the point of video origin, now you can create transformative, higher reliability, higher quality, lower latency, lower cost workflows. And who benefits from that? The customer. And as soon as we start to do this, there are other things that can happen, because as you run those compute functions, you can start to do things with metadata, descriptive information. You can make video more searchable, more monetizable. And where we really see this happening is that we're going to be providing outcomes that are going to transform how people start to find video, use video, and interact with video. So this is a starting point. And I hate to say we're just getting started, but we're just getting started. And so it's exciting.
There's a big macro trend as well, which is simply that money that was going to upfronts is now going to streaming in a lot of cases. Disney just announced that 40% of their upfront money is now going to streaming. And that's really a catalyst for the market as a whole, right? So we really think we have right product at the right time. And if you didn't have the money coming in at this time, that would make this more promotional like live used to be, right? And now it's really a commercial opportunity for content owners.
It sounds like we're going to be hearing a lot more from Videon. Now, you've got this funding, a lot more marketing, and we'll be hearing a lot more about you. So I hope you guys will come back and talk to me again and tell me about the great progress you've made. Todd, Rob, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you, Colin. Really appreciate it.
Colin, time is much appreciated, and thank you so much.
This has been Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media.